This meeting to order. Can I get Vladimir, would you be so kind as to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
My pleasure. Please stand, face the flag. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Council roll call.
Sure. Vladimir Anderson.
Vladimir Anderson, present.
Eric Duane.
Present.
Alexis Federico. Alexander Gonzalez.
Present.
Alex Maslin.
Present.
Robert McDonald.
Here.
Marcos Villa.
Present.
And Stephanie Wade.
Present.
We do have quorum, Chair.
Thank you. We'll move on into public comment. Do we have any public comment?
We did not receive any public comment via email prior to the meeting started. We do have one member in the attendee room. If you would like to speak during public comment, please use the hand raise icon or hit *9 if you're calling in and I can unmute you. Seeing none, Chip.
All right, thank you. We'll move into action item number 5, AB 361 review. So this is a continuation to hold our meetings in a remote session. And so at this time, I would like to ask for a motion to continue our meetings in remote session via Zoom.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second, Vlad Anderson. Second.
All right. Thank you. For any discussion?
Yeah. Can I ask when can we go live again?
That's a great question.
Want me to take that one?
Yeah, go for it.
So it looks like when we reviewed AB 361 that we are good to continue evaluating every 30 days until January 2023. Okay. And so if anything changes between now and then, of course, we'll keep the council updated, but we have the authority to continue evaluating every 30 days until at least January.
Thank you.
Good question. And as I am hunkered down in the bunker with COVID, I'm pretty sure nobody would want me in person. So thankful for
Chair,
the opportunity. Renee? Yep.
Chair, if I could just to make sure we answer Bobby's question. You guys could go in person now if the entire quorum, you know, decides to move to a in-person meeting. So you have the ability now. It's just a vote of the, you know, we need a vote of the quorum one way or the other. So there's no county rules that prohibit you from meeting in person at this time.
Okay, is there any further discussion? All right, let's get a roll call vote.
Vladimir Anderson seconded. Eric Duane.
Aye.
Alexis Federico, still absent. Alexander Gonzalez.
Aye.
Alex Maslin, he motioned. Robert McDonald.
Aye.
Marcos Villa.
Aye.
And Stephanie Wade. I think I saw aye, but you're muted.
Aye, sorry.
Perfect. Motion carries.
All right, thank you. We'll move on into action item 5.2, OCVAC bylaws amendment. Proposal, let's see, which one is this? This is the, I believe this is, everybody got a copy of the packet? Did everybody get a chance to review it? I know some did, some didn't. So at this time, it looks like we're looking for a recommendation to adopt proposed amendment to the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council bylaws. I think that was a motion. No, it wasn't. Am I on task here? I'm asking for a motion, Erica. Just want to make sure. Yep. Is there a motion?
I
All right, there is none. So not sure how to continue on other than to move to item three.
Just to go back to frame this a little bit. So the bylaws are being moved to the county template that has been directed by the Board of Supervisors. So this impacts not just OCVAC, but all of the county boards, councils, and commissions. And the directive from the board is that all of the bylaws will be moved over to the new county approved template by July, which means this will be bundled into one agenda staff report along with 80 other different councils' bylaws that will be approved by the board anticipated July so that we meet that directive. So this isn't our only opportunity to make updates or changes to the bylaws. It's just really to comply with the process and the timeline that's been set by the board. But if OCVAC is working under the new approved bylaws and sees a real need to change something within the content of the bylaws, we can revisit it at a later time. It's not an easy process, so we don't want to make a habit of it. But if it's something that's really material to OCVAC business and it needs to be updated, we can certainly do that at a later time. We're just trying to comply with the board's timeline. It did kind of line up with the request to take a look at what we would do in the event of a tiebreaker for OCVAC elections. So that ad hoc committee met and made a recommendation, which we incorporated into the new template. So hopefully that has been addressed. But the other material change that's included in the new bylaws template is that elections for all county BCCs will take place in the month of November for the following calendar year. So that's going to impact OCVAC elections that were slated to go in July, because the spirit of the board's directive is that these would have already been approved months ago. So we're kind of working behind the eight ball. So assuming that the board's going to approve these new bylaws in July, that would line up our timing to postpone the election for OCVAC until November, in which case the officers would continue serving in their current role until the November election. Anything else that Jenna or Renee want to chime in on? I just wanted to frame that for the council, because I know you guys haven't had a lot of time to review or really understand why this is even coming before you. But even though there is no motion on the floor or an action to approve it, it will move forward in terms of getting bundled with the Board of Supervisors' other bylaws, okay, whether or not OCVAC approves it today.
I'll make a motion to approve the amendment as it proposed.
Yeah, and I'll second that. I do have one question just to clear up, Erica, if I heard you right. That would put us in line with every other county council and commission. So this is going to be the standard operating procedure, is kind of what I understand, correct?
Correct.
Right. How many other councils are there currently for the county?
Oh, the BCC list is something like 90. It's really long.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's 82 currently.
So we're not the only ones feeling this impact, I'm sure.
All BCCs were asked to go to the revised template, which was prepared by county council on behalf of the entire county.
Okay, so the material, go ahead.
I was just gonna ask Bobby for some discussion on what the ad hoc came up with. And I understand Alexis isn't here, but I know that Bobby was a part of that.
No, I'll let Marcos, so he's gonna talk about it. Go ahead, Marcos.
Thank you, Bobby. So right now, the ad hoc has been talked. Well, just to begin, the problem that we're facing right now is that we have an even number of members on the advisory board. And so the ad hoc is looking into ways to be able to help with the voting system in the case that we should ever run into even votes. And so what we came up with together was that if we should come down to even votes, that we would move to a coin toss. And that coin toss would be something that would be proctored by the county and demonstrated on Zoom.
Yeah, and that's under Article 4, if you haven't had a chance to review it. I think it's a great proposal. Yeah. And that will be a part of our amendment that we accept or vote.
why don't I read Article 4? The election of officers shall be held annually during the last council meeting November of each calendar year by majority vote, a quorum being present. 2, nominations will be taken from the floor and members can self-nominate at the November council meeting. 3, for elections involving two candidates running for the same position, in the case of a tie, the tie shall be broken by a coin toss. If the meeting is conducted remotely, the coin toss shall be conducted on video and visible through the duration of the coin toss. The county shall conduct the coin toss. 4, for elections involving more than two candidates running for the same position, in the case of a tie involving two candidates with the highest number of votes, a runoff election shall be held between the candidates with the two highest votes. If a tie remains, it shall be broken by a coin toss as described above. In the case of a three-way tie, a runoff election shall be held for all three candidates. If a tie remains, all three candidates shall have one representative coin toss conducted by the county. The winning candidate is the candidate whose coin differentiates itself from the other two. Very well thought out.
Are we in discussion part right now?
Yes, we are in discussion. There's a first.
Okay, very good. Just a thought. You know, I don't know who thought this up doing it in November, obviously, anyway, don't know who thought it up in November, but let's use an example. Stephanie gets appointed by Katrina Foley right now, all right? And Stephanie becomes the new chair. Katrina Foley in November loses the election and he had a new person coming in January, and that person can pick whoever they want. So that means Stephanie is out. All right. Wow.
Okay. I'll give you another example. I was selected by Andy Doe, who's running for another office. If he gets elected, I'm out too. So
it's, a new person coming in gets to pick their own person. Yeah. That's the idea. But what I'm saying to you is, you know, whoever thought about November thought about the elections, a new person can come in January and do this. But what happens if somebody just appointed somebody and then now they're gone in 6 months or 3 months or 4 months? This really got thought about really, really well.
It creates instability. Absolutely.
Yeah. And point number two, we just received these bylaws. Okay. It's got red marks in it. It's got blue marks. I got a chance to add the stuff we asked. But what happens if the Board of Supervisors doesn't like that and they make the change and goes back? So whatever we voted on, even if we vote on the day to accept them, we're going to have to accept them regardless because they haven't voted on and made it happen yet. So how can we change it? Although we can have some suggestions that we want to make, but what if they don't take our suggestions? I just wanted to bring that up to the group, let you know that I kind of thought this thing out a little bit. Thank you.
Any other conversation, comments? Now, Bobby, was there a point of clarification you're asking for from the county?
No, I mean, not. I mean, my comment to you is we could go along to get along or go along to get along to say, okay, we approve them. They're going to get approved regardless. If we tried to add something to it, they may not accept it. Say, so we're going through and looking at stuff that we have really no control over. And that's a waste of time. However, but if we have to go along to get along, we know this is the way it's going to be, and we can change some things later, perhaps, then we just go ahead and, you know, just do what we got to do to, okay, sir, I thank you. Thank you. You know, it's back into service again. Don't do as I do as I say. Thank you.
Fair points. Thank you for articulating that.
All right.
Is there any further discussion? All right. So at this time, can we get a roll call vote?
Sure. So I have a motion by Eric Duane, a second by Alex Maslin. Going down the roll call, Vladimir Anderson.
I'd like to abstain.
Eric Duane motioned. Alexis Federico is absent. Alexander Gonzalez.
Aye.
Alex Maslin seconded. Robert McDonald.
I'll go along. Aye.
Marcos Villa.
Aye.
And Stephanie Wade.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, thank you, Jenna. So for item number three, because we just voted on this, accepting this proposed amendment, do we need to, is this an action item still?
Yes, please.
All right, okay. So recommendation is to postpone the election of Orange County Veterans Advisory Council until the Board of Supervisors considers the proposed amendment bylaws, and if the amendment bylaws are approved, schedule the election of officers in November pursuant to the terms of the amended bylaws. Okay. Is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
All right, Stephanie, is there a second?
Second.
I'll second.
All right, discussion.
Question. Go ahead. Wait. Question.
I yield the floor to you, sir.
Thank you. Deeply appreciated. So we're getting ready to vote on something that will now put us in violation of our bylaws, because our bylaws, that the new one is getting ready to be accepted, hasn't been accepted yet.
I know. Just a question on that. It's like the head emoji where your brain's like falling out of your head. We had the same question, just to clarify. So we presented that to council, and they kind of outlined their rationale. And basically what it boils down to is that by continuing the elections till after the board's had a chance to approve the new bylaws and having the elections in November, OCVAC is furthering the board's intent to operate under the new bylaws, which should have been in place already long time ago. Like I said, we're behind the eight ball on this. So the alternative would be we would have to do two elections, which is way more resources and time and energy than we need to dedicate to this. So if our current officers are okay continuing to serve in their role until November, we will be operating in the spirit of the board's intent to have these new bylaws in place already.
Can't we table this matter? The new bylaws come into effect. Can't we just table the matter and say we're, because technically we don't vote until July anyway. So, and that's 4 months. I mean, I'm just saying, can't we just table it?
Jenna, can you help us with that? I think the bylaws are going to the board after the next OCVAC meeting. So yeah. After the July meeting. So unfortunately, we won't.
That is correct.
That's a timing issue.
It is scheduled to go to the board in late July. And our next OCVAC meeting will occur before that. So if we table it to the next meeting, we will be in the same boat.
I think I interrupted Alex too. Was there a question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, I mean, if we were to vote on this today, move forward, yes, we'd be technically in violation of the new rules that we're voting on. I mean, is there any type of grace period where we can kind of say, hey, by the next, you know, we will put this on the agenda for the next meeting to take whatever action we need to take to get back into the boundaries of the new bylaws? So yes, for a period of time, we would be out of the new bylaws, or out of, you know, the regulations of the new bylaws, but knowing that it's on the agenda for the next meeting to do what we need to do to get back within the confines of the bylaws.
And if I may add, we still can table it in July to go into August. I mean, the thing is, it's difficult to be out of your, you don't know. You know, this is almost like people, I mean, I'll give you another example. You're asking people to wait till after the election to make a decision. There may be new people in there for after the election. I just wanted to bring.
Or there may not.
Or they may not.
No, or there may not. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they may not. Okay. And I get that. But again, our bylaws state what they are. They haven't been changed yet. Period. So, I mean, Mr. Chair, those are my thoughts.
Any additional discussion?
Hi.
No.
Additional discussion? Alexander, go for it.
I just had one question. Are we anticipating any major changes to the bylaws?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was part of the packet.
I mean, November is probably the biggest change.
That's the biggest change. We expected to have elections coming up next month, and
well, there's some other rule changes in there too. There are significant moves to make everybody in compliance to make this a one size fits all.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah, and I think what's been referenced too is the change that the terms of the appointed members are kind of coincide with the terms of the appointing body. So if there's a board of supervisor that appoints someone, they would only be able to serve for as long as that board member is in office or until they are reappointed or replaced by the board office that takes that seat.
Which, speaking as one of the people who does that in my office, it's a fair bit of work, and often people just let you stay there. And I think there's also generally, if somebody's doing a good job, it's not usually viewed in a partisan manner. You know, it's not a spoil system. It's not like anybody's, you know, killing themselves trying to get on these committees. So people do often serve well beyond their original appointed term.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll stick with my comments. I mean, you know, I think we ought to table it.
We have a first and a second. We do have to vote on the measure.
Okay.
Can I just push back for a second?
Sure.
If we table it because we don't want to be out of compliance with the new bylaws, that we have to prepare an agenda for July. So in preparing the agenda and posting the agenda in advance, we would have to indicate whether or not an election is going to be held. And so we would have to decide today that an election is not going to happen in July so that we don't have to post that on the agenda. Staffing wise, we need to know today if there's going to be an election in July and not just tabling it.
Any further discussion? All right, let's vote.
All right, we have a motion from Stephanie Wade, a second by Alexander Gonzalez. Going down the roll call, Vladimir Anderson.
Abstain.
Did you say abstain?
Yes.
Okay. Eric Duane.
Aye.
Alexis Federico is absent. It was seconded by Alexander Gonzalez. Alex Maslin.
Aye.
Robert McDonald.
Abstain.
Marcos Villa.
Abstain.
Stephanie Wade motion. So we have, it's 4-3, motion carries.
All right, we'll move into our next item, item 6, chairman report. I was hoping to have a report of attending some Memorial Day ceremonies and a funeral or two of fallen comrades. Unfortunately, due to COVID, I was unable to do that. I know that a lot of you all got out there. I also saw that Bobby did something in Missouri on a bicycle with a group of folks honoring the Buffalo Soldiers, or is that coming up?
Next week.
All right. So be safe journeys to you, sir, on your trip. Fantastic job at commemorating the Buffalo Soldiers. Otherwise, I will turn that over to my vice chair.
I can say that I attended two events, one of which wasn't very well publicized in Seal Beach. And that's something maybe we can look at.
So a Mariner event?
It was an event put on by the community church and the Lions Club down in downtown at Eisenhower Park. And then the other one I went to is the Tri-Cities event at the old Santa Ana Cemetery, which, by the way, was really a first-class event. They had flyover, they had cannons that fired. I mean, it was pretty exceptional. But one thing I would say is we should probably think about maybe doing what we can do more to promote some of the events. And the last thing I would say is that I was just struck by every time you go to these, it's older and older folks that are running the events. And I know I'm committed to trying to be more involved in the Legion. And now Bobby's roped me into the VFW and making sure that, we're all doing our part to make sure that it's really about younger people inheriting the rights and understanding of citizenship that we grew up with, and we're in danger of losing that. That's all I got.
Thank you for that. We'll go ahead and move into item 7, OCBSO update. Elena Kim.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So we're welcoming a new VSO phone representative. He's a Marine Corps veteran, Douglas Sanders, and he's in his third week with our office. We also have our VA work study back in office this week. She is a Navy veteran, Erica Campos. We're welcoming two extra help employees who are focused primarily and exclusively on helping our office process the high number of college fee waiver applications that we're working through daily. And she is doing an extremely fast and accurate job at processing these applications. We also started our new veterans claims representative officially, who is a U.S. Army veteran, and that's Mark Agers, in April. And next week, we'll start another veteran claims representative, Ms. Katie McDonald, who's not a veteran herself, but she's coming to us with both SSVF and HUDVASH experience. So we are excited about all of these wonderful updates to our staff. In terms of our office operations, the Orange County Veterans Service Office provided 1,988, and I'm just going to call it 2,000 services to veterans and family members last month, because I know I forgot to record a couple myself. We also filed 653 claims on behalf of veterans and their family members, and through all of these efforts, that leads to $550,575 that were transferred to veterans and their family members through those efforts. In terms of workshops, we had an excellent veterans home loan workshop today. It actually just wrapped up, and we worked on that in conjunction with the Veterans Association of Real Estate Professionals, as well as HUD representatives, to provide detailed information on how to prepare financially for the VA home loan, how to qualify for the waiver of the VA funding fee, and other details on these benefits. And we're talking about potentially hosting another one in August. And of course, we continue to offer our monthly Veterans Legal Institute clinics. We have our college fee waiver workshop recorded and posted on our website. And the things that we have in the works looking forward are, we're working on a VA pension workshop, because this is a very popular service in our office that is quite detailed. And of course, thanks to Erica's efforts, we're on schedule to launch our online appointment booking system, which we're very excited about. And that wraps up the updates that I have. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Question about the appointment booking system. What are you using for that? Is that using a Microsoft product?
We tried the Microsoft product for several weeks. I myself got in there, and just because of the complexity of our operations, it wasn't the best fit for our office. So Erica's been working with OCIT to work with an outside contractor who's building this system from the ground up, just specifically for the Veterans Service Office.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Elena, I think you omitted your participation in Memorial Day. I think you were a speaker.
I was. Thank you for reminding me. That was such an amazing opportunity that I was invited to participate in by Marcos Villa, and it was at the New Vista School and Academy, and I really can't say enough about the amazing staff, faculty, employees, and especially the students there. I was able to join them the day prior to the Memorial Day weekend for their flag raising and a speech, and meet a lot of folks from the community. So thank you for that opportunity, Marcos.
And thank you for that, Elena. I mean, I can't even tell you how grateful our school is, how impactful your meeting was. I mean, you were able to see it. Just to share with everybody, we had about 45 minutes of questions and answers with Elena. And I mean, we had tons of engagement with the students. You know, we had a lot of emotion in the audience. And Elena was just sharing such an impactful and powerful story, sharing where she's coming from and, you know, why our work today in the community matters. Really just, you know, rang it through and through. And so thank you for being there in support of it, Elena, and looking forward to seeing what we can whip up next year.
Fantastic. Any other questions or comments? All right, we'll move into item 8, CalVent Link update. Ben Gales.
All right, thank you, Chairman Duane. I get to see everyone. So I have some good news to share, which is that CalVet has received $50 million to start a new veteran mental health initiative. It's going to be a 3-year project. It's going to be focused on direct services and suicide prevention. So 10% of the money is going to go to outreach and education. 10% will be a tracking project, somewhat like Operation Deep Dive was, if you remember that. And then 80% is going to go to direct services. So there will be an RFP process at some point. It's a little too early to say exactly how that will work. The money is coming in this summer, but then we have to figure out how it's going to be administered. So there's definitely some steps ahead. But, you know, I was kind of doing some numbers, and I don't know this for sure, but kind of thinking about, you know, it's about $17 million a year. And so if you kind of think, what percentage of veterans do we have in Orange County, if it kind of works out like that, I mean, I think it's possible we could be looking at about, you know, $1 million a year, maybe not quite, but certainly a significant amount of money that'll be coming into Orange County, excuse me, for direct mental health services. So definitely some good news, and certainly more to come as that unfolds. That's it.
Any questions for Ben? Go for it.
Ben, I know that Chase Wickerson has grabbed us both about this, and I think we all know Chase, I think, a former member of the board and a very prominent leader in the veteran space with the collaborative. But his special concern has been veteran suicide, and I know he thought that this would be something that would work well promoting it through BWELOC and working it through BWELOC. And when I spoke to you last, you weren't sure if the funds would work that well. What are your thoughts, Ben?
Yeah, you know, I think I don't know how it's going to be administered. You know, but I would hope there's going to be room, you know, for community input, you know, for thoughts, you know, by knowledgeable people like yourself and others in the community about, you know, what makes sense, you know, for the money. And so, yeah, that's what I hope, Stephanie. And, you know, so we'll be in touch about that, you know, and see where there is room to, you know, make observations like the one that you made, you know, to see how it can be helpful.
Very good. Any further questions or comments? All right, we'll move into item number 9, committees. Alex Maslin, do you have anything for communications?
Nope, just share a quick, I went to the memorial that they do every year at Castaways Park in Newport Beach. They call it the Field of Honor. If no one's ever checked it out, it's a really, really neat deal. They put up 1,776 flags throughout the park. And you can make a donation and dedicate one either generally to veterans or to a specific veteran of your choice. The park has a permanent memorial that's there. If you haven't gone and checked it out, it's really a nice park and a nice memorial and a great view of the ocean, if nothing else. So I checked that out. That's a great event every year. It's put on by the Exchange Club out there. Other than that, I don't have much else.
All right. Is there anything from events or outreach from Vladimir?
Yes, Chairman DeWayne. I did attend the memorial service at the Orange County, at the El Toro Memorial Park. It was a beautiful presentation. And one of the guest speaker was a Vietnam vet. And he talked about his experience in being, when he first came into the country and not being accepted as an individual, and how things have changed over the years. It was a beautiful ceremony, a beautiful speech. He was a Marine Corps aviator. I didn't know the Marines flew that kind of aircraft back in the day, but it was a beautiful presentation, and it was very, very humbling. I also, at the direction of Commissioner Wade, I contacted I apologize, I can look it up.
Pacific Air Show?
Pacific Air Show, and I sent a number of emails. I had a phone call with the with some of the entities in the organization, but unfortunately I have nothing substantial to report at this time. And I attempted to attach you the correspondence to you, Commissioner Wade, but unfortunately it didn't allow me to do that. But I have not received any response from the Pacific Air Show to date.
And that's in an effort for us to get a table or a booth there, right? Because we tried to do that last year, but we caught it late in the game. Stephanie, is there any additional contacts or influence you have trying to get a hold of somebody for that organization?
I'm trying to think of who I could network with. Who I think I might try with is Kim Carr or, you know, one of the city council members in Huntington Beach. I mean, they've got to be connected. Maybe they can put me in touch with somebody at Parks or, you know, who's working with them. So let me do that today.
Okay. And then hopefully there's folks that are available. I don't know. Do we know, I guess we could always look it up, what weekend that's going to take place on? So we can kind of clear our calendars, make sure we got folks to
first weekend in October, I believe. I'm going to double check it for you now.
Okay.
I have October 2nd.
Yes, it's the 30th through September 30th through October 2nd.
Okay, that's Labor Day weekend? Or am I? No.
No. It's a different weekend.
Yeah, my holiday is incorrect. Okay. Well, good. I'll clear my calendar for that weekend. Hopefully we can get that up and running. It'd be great to have a booth out there for some presents. All right. Do we have anything from any reports from ad hoc committee from Alex Maslin? I don't think we have
any. No, sir.
Yep, I don't think we have any outstanding reports. All right, we'll turn it over to council comments. Stephanie Wade.
The only thing I have to talk about is that Eric and I are working on a letter to the supervisors, just clarifying where they stand on whether the other offices want to support our welcome home for post 9/11 veterans. I'll get to that this week.
Fantastic, thank you. Marcos Villa.
Nothing to report. However, I do want to say, you know, big ups to Elaine and Kim and your team for everything that you're doing for the veterans out there in the community, making big impacts, and appreciate that work. Thank you for it.
Ditto on that one. All right. How about Vladimir?
Nothing to report, sir.
All right. Alex Maslin.
Nothing else, sir.
Alexander Gonzalez.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
All right. And Bobby, you have the floor.
A couple things. We got 25 days until July 4th. So we just came out of Memorial Day. So get that list. I did make a list and kind of send it up to Erica. And then I guess she's had somebody in the office. I think Veronica, somebody has updated it. So we do have a list now going forward of all the Memorial Days. And I'm assuming that pretty much all those people that did that there will do a July 4th. I do want to know, I was very, very fortunate to get feedback on Miss Elena and her her presentation. I mean, it was pretty powerful, and it didn't come from Marcos. Okay. All right. So, the other thing too is what was really interesting, and I knew they had it, but I got a chance to see it firsthand. I was very fortunate to do the keynote speech on Memorial Day at the city of Tustin. And it's very, I mean, if you haven't been, get a chance to get out there. That's that park, that legacy area where the veterans is pretty nice. They have a kiosk that has a list of all their veterans. And they also to tie that in with their kiosk with a picture and wording and some copy, little bio of each one of those individuals. They have a brick program. And so the brick program is pretty nice too. So I made sure that when it was finished, I handed one thing to Mr. Garrison Devine, who's a Marine and who headed this up for the city of Tustin. I made sure I gave him an envelope for my dad and for myself to be on the bricks. I'm just saying those little small things like that these other cities are doing, and we're all veterans, so those are some things we just can do. And then I took off and left and went to do the master's ceremonies at the Compton Cemetery on Greenleaf in Woodland. So, and that turned out to be pretty nice too. So other than that, and then I came back and ran into Marcos at the VFW in Anaheim where they had the big barbecue. So other than that, it was a slow day.
All right, thank you, sir. Is there any other comments from anyone? All right, barring none, we'll adjourn the meeting. Everyone stay safe, stay healthy. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.